time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
These are two people that really don't agree on much. Mm-hmm. And they're like, basically, the entire bill is, hey, will you guys solve the cases, please?
With SI's Pat Forty.
No. CJ Stroud's the man.
Here's Pat and Dan.
Welcome to the pod. We welcome Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, with guest joining Pat, Sully, and I.
Sports Illustrated has finally evened up the numbers. No longer outmanned.
An encroachment by SI.
It's an honor and a privilege to join the circus here.
There you go. I apologize to have you on this one because I'm on vacation and it's sunny out and I have a pool, a beach, many adult beverages. So this podcast can be about 11, 12 minutes long, I figure. Georgia looked good.
Dan usually mailed it in. He's really
mailing it in. It is mailed. Georgia looks good. Alabama looks good. Ohio State. Talk to you next week.
Be
sure to subscribe, share with your friends, leave a review.
You're in lovely SEC country, aren't you? Right, Panhandle of Florida. Yeah,
in the Panhandle. I'm down in the Panhandle, ready for meetings. Having meetings. Not having meetings. It's 11 a.m.
Bush
on a Monday morning.
There it is.
The Monday Bush Light. There we go. All right.
Last time I saw you at the Masters, you had a Bush Light. Now you got a Bush Light here. Do you ever not have a Bush Light, Dan?
You know, that's between me and my therapist. It's called Anonymous. Some people call it a six-pack. I call it a support group. College football is happening whether I go on vacation or not.
That's right.
And we've got plenty of it. We're bringing Ross in to help us have someone who's actually paying attention this week, unlike me. So spring games going on. Start with Georgia. First off, biggest news they had, Amarius Mims, who we talked about the other day, the highly touted freshman lineman, has reverse course, the portal. He went into the portal and then came immediately back out. Yep. Spit him out like a house of mirrors. Probably good for Kirby Smart. Pat?
Yeah, good for Kirby Smart, bad for Florida State, which really put on the full court press to try to get him once he entered the portal. He visited down there. You know, they put on the dog for him, and then, nope, reverses course, and it's another Georgia recruiting win. This one's more of a retention win, obviously. But they've had like 10 guys go in the portal, which, you know, doesn't shock me, coming off a championship year where guys want to, hey, be part of it, something, get a ring, and then you're looking for playing time elsewhere, and so you move on. But Mims was a significant one. He was a top five national recruit coming out of high school in 2021. I think he was Georgia's top recruit that year, and you don't want those guys to get away before you've had a chance to really even be able to plug them into the lineup and see what they can do. So another win for Georgia, which has won a lot on the field and off lately.
See the spring game at all this week?
Not bits and pieces, but I was going to say, you know, Mims did the portal shuffle, right? You put your front foot in, you put your front foot out. I mean, we're seeing it so much. It's hard to keep track of who's in the portal, who was in the portal and now out of the portal, who's in the portal and stuck in the portal, who's in the portal and going to another school. I was reading like recaps of some of the spring games. You know, you see all these quarterback names, right? And it's like, wait, oh yeah, he's for that school now. He plays for that school now. So it's just crazy, man. Like I need a cheat sheet of where all the quarterbacks are now and where they were.
Seriously.
To kind of keep it all straight. But 2022 in college football, right?
It's turning into like when you watch the NBA playoffs and there's this random guy tearing it up. And you're like, who is that? And you check it out, and he's like, his path is like, you know, two JUCOs, three AAU teams, went to play for like the Sao Paulo Thunder, Rio Grande, three G League spots, and then finally, you know, now he's averaging 22 a game for somebody, and you're like, just kept grinding.
His name escapes me, but the Kansas basketball player, right? When Kansas's fifth school. Or fifth or sixth school. His name is escaping me, but I'm sure we're going to see that more and more in college football where it's like, and this guy is at his third, fourth school. And yeah, you lose track. And right now the quarterbacks are, everybody has that extra year, you know? So they're just right. Using it. It seems like as soon as they can, which I guess you would think that means it's going to level out at some point, but at the same time, you've still got a new crop every year coming in that has that extra year to use. So I don't know. It's It's crazy. It's a weird time.
Well, I'll tell you who's been around. Eric Gilbert.
He has.
Longtime listeners know my man crush on Eric Gilbert, the tight end from Marietta, yes. Georgia. I watched him in a high school game, and oh my. Now, he originally signed with LSU. He left there without playing. I don't think he ever played.
Then he went to 1 year.
Oh, he did play. He played 1 year. Yeah. I'm sorry.
The COVID year.
He had his moments. That's right. Yeah. He had two TDs in the first. I declared him the Heisman winner.
Oh, yeah. No. You gave him the Heisman. You put him in the College Football Hall of Fame. You made him the number one pick in the draft.
I did. He's like the next Gronk. Yeah. That's right. I forgot. It's been a rough road, me and Eric. The Eric fan club has got a little bear in there. Then he left there, went to Florida, never played at Florida.
That's right.
And now he's at Georgia.
Yep.
Now, one thing I will say, this old rule never made any sense to me, the no transferring in conference. Because if you're a conference, you want these guys to stay in your, as a, you know, if you take a holistic, 30,000 foot view of this, you don't want Eric Gilbert playing in the ACC. But he was out there for the Georgia spring game, two touchdowns, because I did watch some of the Georgia. I did some research. I may have been bored at an airport, but I did watch the Atlanta airport. They were showing the Georgia spring game. But I was there. I did watch. And, this kid is he's everything I said. They're calling the defensive backs are calling him a beast, incredibly strong, best player they've seen to try to cover. Needless to say, Stetson Bennett likes him. Pat, what do you
think about this? Well, Georgia may be the first team in history to just say we're doing away with wide receivers and we're just going to line up like four tight ends. Because if you remember, they had Brock Bowers, who was like the best tight end in the country last year, and he sat out spring because he was banged up. And then they had that monster Darnell Washington, who they would bring in 6'7", 265, throw it over the top to him in short yardage situations. And now you add Eric Gilbert, and apparently he was like over 300 pounds at one point post LSU and before this spring, and so he had to get himself back in shape. And Kirby Smart had a comment from Saturday on the spring game, you know, of like all the things he's overcome and been through. Of course, they never tell you what those things really are, but clearly it had been a long road to get to this point in the spring where he's in position to make a big impact. But I mean, Georgia, I think, is light at receiver, but now they are massively heavy at tight ends, so I don't know what they're going to do with all of them. They'll figure it out. Todd Monken likes his tight ends. He'll find ways to use them. And that Brock Bowers is athletic enough and not that huge. You could split him out, I would imagine, and play with him outside. You could
go 3-4 tight ends. Who cares? It's like that's what the Patriots did with Hernandez and Gronk, and no one could guard them.
Right.
I mean, if you have 3 or 4 of these guys?
Yeah, and they do. So that's
I mean,
yeah.
Who's tackling them?
Yeah, how will the defenses respond, right? They nowadays you get those deep, you know, 5, 6, 7 DBs in a game. You can't do that with 3 or 4 tight ends in the on the field. You know, Eric Gilbert spent that 1 year at LSU, and everybody raved about him down there from an athletic standpoint. I mean, just, you know, the stories that came out of Baton Rouge about him. But and I don't know what's been even written out there about his issues, right? But most of them weren't like physical issues. I think there were some other ailments, mental ailments that kind of were giving him issues, and he just couldn't overcome them. I'm glad to see that he's, I guess, overcome them. And you know, he has kind of some family issues as well. And I really thought after he showed up at Georgia, and then all of a sudden he left or disappeared for a little while. And I never thought he would come back. I remember talking to some people at LSU who still speak to, I guess, people around Gilbert. They didn't really think he would come back either. They didn't think he was ready to come back. But I'm glad to see he is. And hopefully he's on the old straight and narrow now, because he is an incredibly gifted athlete.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Hope the best for him.
I'll be proven right.
Here we go. you're angling to represent him, right? So let's think. Would he be eligible for the draft this year, or does he have to wait another year?
He probably is eligible this year. Yeah, This is 30 years.
When Wetzel shows up in a zoot suit next to him at the draft.
Show me the money, Eric. We're going to get this done.
So you saw him at one high school game, and that was it for you, huh?
Well, first off, imagine this guy playing high school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So right. It's not exactly like it took a keen scouting eye to notice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Like Derrick Henry in high school.
Yeah. Yeah. Some poor sophomore from this other school was like hanging on his back. Like,
Yeah.
It's just was. I said, well, I think this guy's going to go. He's got a little future. I remember the day Skip Prosser and I, the late Skip Prosser, the Wake Forest coach, were watching an AAU basketball game, and there was a kid on the team. His number was not on. He was subbing, and he did not have the right number. It wasn't on the roster, and we're watching, and this kid's just tearing it up. And I'm like, who is this kid? And he goes, go down. He can't, you know, it's like the rules where you couldn't. Coach couldn't go talk to the, you know, whatever, some rule. So I go down and I ask the coach at halftime, like, who is number four there? Something like, well, whatever number was. And he goes, oh, that's Stephon Marbury.
Nah,
he's just subbing for us this weekend. I go, hey, go back. I go, hey, we discovered Stephon Marbury. He's like, oh, man, we are really good scouts, boy. I tell you. We're really on top of that. All right, Ohio State had theirs. C.J. Stroud, Kyle McCord, and Devin Brown all threw touchdown passes and all look pretty good. I guess everybody looks good in these things, right? Does anyone look bad other than Nebraska?
Have you ever? Well, I mean, Nebraska and Clemson's quarterbacks.
Clemson, right? Clemson, oh, yeah,
QB,
we'll get to that.
Clemson QB numbers weren't good. Everybody's smashing the panic button there. So.
C.J. Stroud wore Dwayne Haskins' name on his jersey, which was nice. Can we get a? Can we drum up a quarterback controversy in Columbus? Can we start one, or there is none?
No. C.J. Stroud's the man, and if McCord is happy to sit behind him as the backup, okay. But C.J. Stroud is it. He was great last year. All signs are he's going to be great this year. The thing that I took out of their spring game is they tackled. Ryan Day would like to see his team be like a little bit more physical. They were so soft last year. If you remember, they got absolutely trucked by Michigan. They got trucked by Oregon. They were in the process of being trucked by Utah in the Rose Bowl and then came back and won because they threw the ball brilliantly. But Jim Knowles, new defensive coordinator in there from Oklahoma State, and I think he is trying to set a different tone. Now, this is where you get – this is the, you know, the great spring ball risk of, oh, they're new physical team. Well, let's see when they play somebody else, you know.
That's right.
But for now, that's the tenor. It's the first time Ryan Day had his team tackle in the spring game. So
Jim Knowles is in the honeymoon phase. He loved to be a coordinator in the honeymoon phase, right? We're going to play physical, and we're going to run the 3-4. We're going to be multiple, and, you know, you hear all the words – when I was reading about Ohio State spring game, and Marvin Harrison Jr. ran across my screen, and I thought, man, do I feel old. Marvin Harrison Jr., right? Just crazy.
Willie Green is coaching the New Orleans Pelicans, and I covered a high school game he was in. He's now an NBA head coach. He's doing a pretty good job.
Take I was a like, sip of that oh, Bush Light there, buddy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
Wow. Yeah, so you do want to be that new guy, though, that taught him how to tackle, because in Ohio State had never learned how to tackle. We always talk about the new strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right
yeah,
now, we got a new system where guys are getting strong and leaner muscle and more limber muscle or more muscle. And it's like they've been lifting weights down there at Ohio State for a lot of years. Yeah. I thought just decided to start getting a little off-season calisthenics in. But yeah, that's it. So I did like, it was full contact because of they have to prep for the Notre Dame game. They got to go live for Notre Dame. So Ryan Day's not worried about injuries. Looks like they made it out pretty good. So,
but yeah, now that the only thing better than being a new coordinator is being the new strength coach, because then that's all it's much harder to track what you were doing in the weight room, you know? And so they just, new attitude, more physical, closer, whatever you weren't before, you suddenly magically are now with the new strength coordinator.
So we're going to have some more transfers. It's a good story on ESPN. There's been a million transfer portal stories, but David Shaw mentioning you're going to have people leave after the season, a group of guys that leave in winter conditioning. There's going to be another group that leave at end of spring. Then you're going to see numbers. Then you're going to see where they are and maybe see the incoming freshman. You say, you know what? I may have a good chance someplace else. And all the coaches are calling for some kind of like schedule, right? I know you've talked to a lot of people about this, Ross and Pat. I kind of agree with this. I'm anti-regulation in general, but you can't have free agency. As we said, college football has free agency, the draft, the championship, and the coaching carousel all the same. You got to have something set up here. Obviously, a guy wants to drop out of school or not participate with the team. There's nothing you can do. And you can't stop a kid from taking unofficial visits, right? Because these are public, many of these places are public institutions if you want to walk on. But what works here? What do you think's reasonable?
Yeah, I think, and I was meeting with some coaches on the road. I just got in from a two-week road trip, did the Masters, and then made a couple stops along the way. And every single one of them I met with talked about this issue. And this is like the number one issue, 1A, 1B, right? NIL and transfer portal, and both of them together have kind of created what we're seeing now, a kind of a free agency of college sports. And I think most coaches want and believe that eventually there will be some kind of closed and open windows to the portal, that it might open like six weeks after the fall semester ends, then it'll close. And then it'll open for 6 weeks after the spring semester ends, and it'll close. So you give players a chance to get in the portal, you know, after spring practice, and give them a chance to get in the portal after the fall season. That would bring a little more, I guess, regulation to it. It might help coaches with roster management. That's the big thing you hear over and over again, is how difficult the roster management is. And then you don't have players, honestly, just kind of quitting midseason, right in the middle of a season. And we've seen that, in just going into the portal or doing the same thing in the middle of spring practice, which we haven't seen quite as much of, but you're definitely seeing a lot of that during the actual season of players like skipping out and going into the portal. So I think the future is some kind of closed and open window, but it's in the middle of the transformation committee is discussing this issue. And I think there are legal concerns, right? The real issue is legal concerns. And they talked about, when they first implemented the portal in 2018, talked about doing it with closed and open portal windows, but NCAA legal said, no, don't do that. We'll get sued. A lot of administrators now are regretting not doing that, because really, they're going to get sued either way, right? I mean, we live in a litigious society where lawsuits are going to come either way.
Yeah, I think that it makes sense to have some element of regulation of this, and or just structure to when these things can happen. Because right now, in total free-for-all, while in theory it's right and just, it's not very easy to actually navigate for anybody, I don't think, for the players or for the schools. And it would make sense to do it at the end of the semester. I know occasionally Dan will laugh at me when I bring up academics, but you know, if you let the players actually finish this semester, figure out where they are academically, and then decide, okay, I'm leaving. And you can decide beforehand, but you can't put in until after you finish your semester, and you go from there. I think that would work out better. Now, boy, I would create, I'd be like the old oil rush, you know, in the 1800s, where you're like, oh my God, we're 1,300 players go into the portal now. Boom, everybody's rushing after those guys then. But better that, I think, than just trying to navigate this constant, like 12 months a year, 365 day sort of trickle almost in and out of the portal.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it right now, and again, I get twitchy when they start coming up with guardrails. But
that's a favorite NCAA buzzword too.
Yeah.
Guardrails.
Guardrail for who? But it'd be good for the player too, in two aspects. One, you could transfer and then get recruited over again in the transfer portal. So it's like, oh, okay, I need a tight end, and this kid's available and he's good, we'll take him. And then a better one is available 2 months later, and go, well, we'll take him too. So this would allow it a little bit more information for the players. Also, it would eliminate, I think, is, and a little bit to Pat's academic thing, among other things, and just being the first to declare for the portal no longer helps.
Right.
Kind of a race to the portal, because you want to be the top player at your position and then have that pecking order. Instead, it's like, well, it doesn't help to do that in the middle of October or whatever. Obviously, kids are going to walk away. There's not a perfect solution here, but they do need something probably for all parties. And if that's somehow you can sue that, I mean, again, they're going to, like you said, they're going to sue for everything. But I don't know. Maybe that's I feel like if they go to Congress with really, really specific and small requests, they might be able to get it done.
as opposed to just walking in and throwing the entire suitcase of problems on the table and saying,
yes.
They come up, the Congress is going to come up with 10 new problems that don't really exist.
Yeah. I was meeting with an AD during this last road trip, and the topic of Congress and the NCAA, Mark Emmert came up. You know, it's been 2.5 years or so since Mark first really visited D.C. to plead for lawmakers to create some kind of federal NIL legislation. And we were talking about just, you know, how much of a failure that is. And this athletic director said, you know what Congress needs to do? They need to pass a bill that says, Mark Emmert, do your job, signed Congress, and see what happens. And that just shows you what we all know on this call, right? And most nationally know is that the athletic director community doesn't think real highly of the NCAA president right now.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
It's basically what that Cory Booker, Marsha Blackburn bill, which, you know, these are two people that really don't agree on much. Mm-hmm. And they're like, basically the entire bill is, hey, will you guys solve the cases, please? Like, that's all it was. Like, yeah, enough. Right. It shouldn't take 5 years, okay? We agree on we agree on nothing, but we agree on this.
That's
and
right.
Everyone goes, yeah.
When that came across, it was shocking to me that those two were agreed on something and came out with this bill. And they kind of like, that was a few weeks ago, and they kind of leaked it to me first. And so when it came to me, I like read it 4 different times. Like, okay, Corey and Marsha, are we sure about this? Like, and I had to go back to the people, you know, who gave me the information. Like, Cory Booker, is this right? Right, the Cory Booker from New Jersey, the Democratic senator, is with the Tennessee woman. Are you sure? Are we got that right? You know, and it's like, yes. So, and I just remember being so scared when I blasted it out, like, oh my God, I'm going to be wrong. It's another Cory Booker.
You fell for that.
That I don't know about. But no, lo and by, and that just shows you everybody can come together. And I've written countless about this. You know, I live in DC and I've lived in DC for 3 years, and I've written this over and over again, but there's nothing that the Republicans and Democrats agree on, other than the hate for the NCAA. It's just like sweeping across the board. And that bill, which would basically, as Dan meant, like provide oversight on the enforcement process, that bill is just, you know, it gives loud voice to, you know, we hate the NCAA, Democrat or Republican. We hate them, and they need to get things straight.
Yeah, bipartisan punching bag. NCAA does not pull too well. All right, Spencer Rattler, now at South Carolina. He with ESPN. Rattler and his two cars described Oklahoma as a toxic situation.
Cars described them as that too.
Yeah. It was so toxic when he got the two cars. The real mystery remains: how did he drive one home and then fly back and drive the other?
It was a toxic agent drive one out for him.
Wasn't toxic when they were giving him those cars. No. It says NIL deal. I was just happy to get away from a toxic situation and get somewhere new. Anywhere was going to be better. I found the right place. It was Oklahoma toxic, or was that just code for Caleb Williams?
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, like the Dodge Challenger's like, I didn't like Caleb Williams. And then the Ford truck is like, I didn't like the fans booing. So if you want both cars to weigh in, I don't know, you know, what the deal was, but it was pretty ugly for him. It really was. You know, when you get booed in your home stadium as a 20-year-old who's never failed at anything, I don't imagine up to that point, it was a difficult situation. And I mean, if anybody should have gone into the transfer portal, it's Spencer Rattler. It made sense. You know, we'll see if he is second life, if all of a sudden he's, you know, in a much better place in terms of just having nobody to look over his shoulder at, and also maybe mentally and everything else, and ready to go, and he plays great like everybody expected him to out of high school, maybe he becomes a star. If not, maybe he wasn't that good to begin with. We'll see. I mean, South Carolina obviously has a long way to go in terms of getting up to legitimately competing in the SEC East. They took a step forward in the first year under Shane Beamer. You know, he got the mayonnaise bath, they won a bowl game, all those good things, but that's not the same as competing with Georgia in the SEC East. So, you know, they're all very excited. But again, spring excitement is dime a dozen.
All right, I have to weigh in on the mayonnaise bath. So this past week, I spent time in Orlando at the bowl season convention where all the bowl executives come in. It's just really a lot of like eating and drinking for free. You know, I mean,
those guys love me.
Shocking, I know. So, but there was
did they raise a toast to me and all I've done for the bowl industry?
Yeah, right. Yes. Yeah. You're a talk of the town. I can't believe you haven't been invited to speak on a panel.
Keynote speaker. Yeah. Keynote speaker.
But one of the Duke's Mayo people, we're talking about the mayonnaise bath. And so they had to get Shane. They did the mayonnaise bath and they had to get Shane like washed up for either the news conference or some kind of like TV thing afterward. And it was, as you imagine, a mess. And they said the stench of the room where they did the mayo was just incredibly bad. Just awful. It was like, yeah, well, you bathed somebody in mayo. What did you expect?
Absolutely horrible.
That may be the least of the last way I'd want to die.
Covered in mayo. Death by
buried
mayo.
In mayonnaise. Like, drowned in mayo. I can't stand mayonnaise. If you,
like, I think that's how the Joker happened. He found it. He fell into a vat of mayo.
That's right. Hey, a Coast Boy, Cajun Coast Boy would say, "All right, bathe me in mayo, but put some horseradish and some ketchup in it, and a little Tony Sacheries, and we can do a little cocktail. Cocktail will be much better."
You see this story? This speaking of South Carolina and death by mayo. This prisoner in South Carolina, a man on death row, he got to choose how he wanted to get executed. Richard Bernard Moore.
We still do that.
Either get the yeah, oh yeah, yeah, they do it. South Carolina.
Wow.
If you don't jaywalk, man. you can choose electric chair or firing squad.
Oh God.
Okay, and this guy, the electric. If you make no choice, you get the electrocution.
Just two choices.
Apparently, there's only two. We don't. Maybe we can bring Mayo back in on this.
Yes.
Yeah, he chose the firing squad. So he's going to get strapped into a chair, and three guys are going to shoot, but only one of them is going to have a bullet, and they're not going to know which guy.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah.
Stuff happens.
That wasn't already the case? I thought it was. I don't know. No, there's always just one dude with a bullet, you know? And like, and nobody kind of knows gun? Which guy it is, so that the guys that are doing the shooting don't know.
They don't know because it might weigh on you.
Yeah, right. Hmm. Exactly. I just, I'm not sure I could see myself volunteering to like go shoot.
And what kind of gun do you get a choice of? I mean, what kind of gun it is? I'd kind of want the old like Civil War like musket or something, you know, the little round little balls.
And then you die by lead poisoning instead of and just killing you. You got to
also what
bleed
kind of
out
mental trauma
thing
is the firing squad shooting somebody, like the mental trauma of that. I mean,
these South Carolina, I mean, they're
ready.
I don't know what you guys are all doing down there. They're ready. The problem was they were doing the lethal injection, but they're having trouble getting the drugs. I don't know. There's a whole thing there. They couldn't get they were so eager to get the death row going again. They passed this law, which seems a little bit much to me. But I'm not a South Carolina. Maybe down there, this is what they want to do, I guess.
I don't know.
So
boilerplate advice for the listeners. Don't commit a capital crime crime, but right. Not especially one in South Carolina.
And how about these guys, though, on the firing squad? Like, I mean, I know you got to make a living, but really?
Yeah, but no, that's a bad way to make a living.
Is there a line out the door? Like, how do you sign up to be a firing squad member that is legally bound to kill somebody?
Probably.
Like the real 007.
Probably
they have a license
honor
to kill.
It's probably an honor amongst this group. I mean, hey, honey, how was your day? Well, may or may not have shot a guy. If not, it was one of my two buddies.
Yeah.
This is the uplifting
This
part
is
of the
great.
Podcast.
This is what I was warned about right here.
How did we? Yeah, we veered from Spencer Rattler to this.
Careful, Spencer. Careful where you sign now. I'm just saying. I guess, I don't know. Maybe you want a choice. I'm not sure. All right. Well, other news. Syracuse, the Carrier Dome, the famed Carrier Dome. Carrier air conditioning. And always the joke with the Carrier Dome was The Carrier Dome is not air conditioned. Ever right. been in there on a hot yes. day? It's actually that's horrible. Yeah. yeah. So Carrier did not air condition the Carrier Dome, but they signed a lifetime deal. But Syracuse is now out of it after 43 years. It was the greatest deal ever in marketing history. Carrier, which I mean, literally everybody's heard of the Carrier Dome.
Sure.
$2.75 million in 1979, wow. and they got a lifetime deal.
Wow. What?
And so they're out of it now?
They're out, and we have a new name, which I refuse. JMA Wireless. I'm not
JMA Dome? Wow.
A Wireless Words. Dome. Yeah.
That's terrible.
That's not great. I remember being – I only covered one game in the Carrier Dome. It was a football game. I never actually have been to a basketball game there. I'm sure that's really what you'd want to go to. It's a basketball game there. But football game there in September, LSU, for whatever reason, in like 2015, played a game up in Syracuse in Leonard – I think it was Leonard Fournette's sophomore year. And he literally ran for like 300 yards and like four touchdowns. But I remember the press seat was the best – press seat of any football stadium I've ever been into because it's low, it's right at midfield. It was awesome, but man, it was like, you know, probably it's like the club seats now where you would sit on a club or a suite, right? It was
right, middle
it
was level. Awesome. Yeah.
But I remember like how hot and like muggy it was, and thinking, the LSU football team, you welcome them in to a hot and muggy arena. They'll be fine. Like they'll be fine, and they were. They cruised. Yeah,
no home field advantage there for them. That I've been to Syracuse. I don't know, 8-10 times in my life, and it, never once has the weather even been tolerable. It has always been horrible, freezing cold, pouring rain, dumping snow, piles of dirty snow.
The stadium's uphill. You literally have to walk uphill to the stadium. Like they give you no reason to go to this place, yet they turn out. It's like stay home. There's not, you know, I don't know, a club level. I'm trying to think what a luxury suite in Syracuse would entail.
Toasted ravioli, probably.
Toasted ravioli, a little dinosaur barbecue. I don't know.
Yeah.
We couldn't even stay in town for that trip.
God bless Central New York.
Like either the hotels were booked or they were outrageously expensive. I don't know how big Syracuse is, but I feel like we stayed like an hour and a half away, like halfway across the state.
All right, Central Florida spring game. Their back of their uniforms were QR codes.
you can't even say it. You can't even say it without chuckling. Golly, come on.
Into
2022, man. It's the thing to do. They're progressive, man. They're putting QR codes on jerseys, man.
That's what they're trying to say. There's no number. You have to just go and try to pause. If some dude's playing well, you hit pause and then you QR code it. And you can send him money so that he's like Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler would have made a ton of money than not. If you're giving money out over a spring game performance, it's a fool and his money will soon be farted.
I walked into the UCF facility and Gus Malzahn walked in, said, come back to my office, got something to show you. And laying out on the table before they announced everything, because it was a day before. So laying out on the table were the two jerseys with the QR codes. And there are a couple of other staff members in there, like part of the communication staff. And they kind of saw him, and maybe one of the first times they saw him, and they saw the back, they saw the front, and they're like, all right, how are we going to take stats? How do we know there's no jersey number in the back? Yeah,
that's broadcasters. Right.
So that was the topic.
I mean,
during that when they introduced me to the jerseys, like this seems like a good idea. But then you start thinking about it, but I don't know. I don't know how it went. Maybe it went okay. I don't know how many people scan the QR code. It goes linked to the bio of each player, which then links to their social media channels and merchandise sites. Hey, you know, NIL era, here we are.
Nobody's clicking twice.
That's right. You got to click twice. Yeah.
Nobody's clicking twice. Good luck with that. Yeah, UCF.
This is a gimmick. Come on.
I would love to have plucked somebody out of 1998 and drop them in 2022 and say, so there's a spring game and the players are going to wear a QR code. What the hell's a QR code? Oh, well, it's, you know, you scan it on your cell phone. Well, what's a cell phone? Wait a minute. Yeah, I mean, just like
what a scanner.
Yeah, we put a mess, and you're going to pay them.
I can see that. happening. Well, yeah, you know, last year they did the Twitter handles on the back. Could you imagine, you know, at so and so scrolled on the back of the jersey? Somebody from the 90s figuring out what that is, you know.
Look, we're talking about it, so it worked, because there's no way anyone made any. First of all, how many people are watching the UCF spring game? Again,
11 people.
Priority. 11. Okay. And then B, how many of those people are just so moved by someone's performance that they had to throw them a couple bucks? That is the ugliest I mean, Oregon has tried on occasion to have some ugly uniforms, but that is easily the ugliest college football uniform I've ever seen. Remember Maryland?
Maryland with the flag,
Oh, yeah.
Maryland had brutal.
Disastrous flag.
What the hell was that? Yeah.
But no, UCF has just raised the bar.
So you talked to the Gus Bus.
Yeah, that was kind of my last stop of the trip.
Coach Waffle House.
Coach Waffle House has had quite a crazy last 5 months, and that's what we spent actually a lot of time talking about. You know, I was just kind of passing through there. I didn't even, you know, just wanted to chat with him for a little while. And then he started kind of emotionally talking about this last 5 months of his. In October, his daughter had a son and then was rushed to the hospital with like post-birth complications. And she was in the hospital for 2 weeks. And I don't know if you guys remember, you know, he flew directly from Cincinnati after UCF played to Birmingham to be with her. She lives in Birmingham. So there's all that. And then he broke his leg in November during a sideline crash with one of his defensive backs. So he was on like crutches for like 6 to 8 weeks. And then his family got COVID in January for the second time. And they're not sure it was a COVID complication, but it kind of came like after the family recovered from COVID. Is his wife, Christy, got rushed to the hospital after having like a fever and she was dehydrated, and she was in the hospital for 3 weeks on a ventilator for 5 days. And Gus just flatly said that, you know, he thought that he was going to lose her while she was on the ventilator. And it was they still don't exactly know what happened. It was some like maybe perfect storm of complications of COVID stuff, and her immune system was kind of, I guess, in a bad place. And then she got an infection in her finger that might have been like from a manicure. It was like a weird whole thing, and the infection spread in her lungs or her bloodstream. So anyway, he had all that. And then Christy, like a month later, Christy's dad died. So they were back in Auburn taking care of her mother, and they got in a car accident and hit a motorcyclist. And a lot of the details still haven't come out on that. The police report will at some point, I guess, come out more detailed. But the motorcycle is supposed to be okay. But he got airlifted. Just one thing after another. So we talked a lot about off the field stuff. Yeah, just one thing after another for him. It's been pretty crazy. And Gus doesn't get real emotional at times. But when we were talking about it, you know, he really got emotional. I mean, he really thought that he was going to lose his wife.
Yeah, he is a pretty buttoned up guy in terms of what he will let you in on. So that if he showcased any emotion there, you can tell. That's quite a pile up of things. That's way too much hospital time and other bad circumstances for sure. So he's been through the ringer. That, you know, they, from a football standpoint, you know, Cincinnati should theoretically take a step back at the top of the AAC. Is UCF ready to take a step forward? They had been the boss of the league, and then they slid a little bit. Cincinnati took their place. SMU's kind of there. So Dylan Gabriel leaves. He transfers to Oklahoma, and we'll see what they put on the field. I still feel like they probably have better talent than the vast majority of that league, but do they have enough to get back to winning the AAC?
They have Plumlee now, you know, from Ole Miss that came over, and Gus recruited him.
Right.
Yeah, John recruited him while he was at Auburn. In fact, a very much a Gus-ism when we were in his office talking, he said, "I recruited the snot out of Plumlee." I'm like, okay, all right, great. All right. Let's get snotty. All right.
maybe why it didn't work.
So, they're excited about that quarterback competition. I didn't get to watch their spring game, so I don't know exactly how well they did, but it seems like a pretty heated competition. And Plumlee's an incredible athlete, you know, baseball player, college baseball player. You know, Lane Kiffin used him in spots every now and then. And I think he just left knowing that he needed to find a place that would kind of use his skills more, I guess. And that certainly was back with us.
Yeah. Gus will run a QB 15, 20 times.
And I think that's what he wants to do. I think that's what Plumlee wants. Plumlee, he doesn't mind that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Here's a story that's slipped past us during March Madness. If you remember, or if you are aware or even care, Joe Buck is leaving Fox. Him and Troy Aikman are heading to ESPN to broadcast the NFL's Monday Night Football game. We've talked about, we don't understand why these guys make so much money, but ESPN has hired Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Now, they were, Troy Aikman's contract with Fox was ending. Joe Buck had one more year as part of his contract with Fox. So ESPN needed to get Joe Buck to team with Troy Aikman. So they had to make a trade with Fox Sports. ESPN and Fox Sports made a trade. This is a true story. This gets to college football. And I'll ask you guys, if you don't
can trade people, what if we get traded?
I don't even want to know what I would fetch. I don't even want to know.
A coffee machine.
Good God. Don't give our bosses any ideas.
Exactly. Okay? I'm on an expiring contract. I could go for like a copier or something.
Yeah, right. Right.
Two interns.
Player to be named later. Two interns for Pod 4. I mean, oh, no. Anyway, so the way it broke down is they decided to make the deal involving the Big Ten broadcast season. Okay. So there are 54 games that the Big Ten contractually hands out to either ESPN or Fox. Each network broadcasts 27 Big Ten games. Okay. Fox always gets the first pick. Now, what they do is Fox gets the first pick, ESPN gets the second pick, and then they just snake draft it, right? Then Fox gets the third pick.
Yep.
So every year, Fox picks the Ohio State Michigan game. And basically, I think you pick the window of time on a certain date, whatever, but it's essentially we want Ohio State, Michigan, because that is the most reliable, you know, you're always going to get eight figures on that of a broadcast. Now, this year, there's a little bit of a debate because Notre Dame is opening at Ohio State, and conceivably that could get a higher, but it's believed Fox took it anyway. ESPN is going to get the Notre Dame Ohio State game, and then Fox goes up. So part of the deal this year, ESPN relinquished one of its draft picks, and it may be the last round, but it's some round in there. So Fox got 28 games. ESPN got 26. So Joe Buck was traded for a Big Ten football game.
About that.
Joe Buck.
Absolutely awesome.
Joe Buck was traded for a 27th round Big Ten football game.
So
I mean, Northwestern. Yeah, right.
Can you guess the game? I don't know that it's the last. It's not the last one because this couldn't possibly be the last one. But I don't think. Right. But could you get... Guess the game, and I will give you some hints if you want. Because, I mean, obviously, there's just...
Do you know the game? You know,
I know the game.
Okay.
If you want a hint, you can ask. Each of you can ask.
All right. Give me... Is it within the division, or is it interdivisional? Like, is it a Big Ten West game?
Interdivisional game.
Okay. So it's East against West.
You guys can get three questions. You guys can go over three. This will be the game. Three questions, and then can you guess it? Okay. That's one. Intradivisional. So it is not Michigan, Michigan State or anything good like I've that. It's not.
I'm ready.
It's not even.
It's got to be.
You're ready to pick and one? Is this like that name, that tune?
But I did have to pull up to make sure. I didn't pull up the standings, you know, the divisions, just to make sure I had. Say it's Maryland and Rutgers. Say it's Maryland.
You don't want your two clues? You're ready to go right here? No, that's intra. Inter.
Yeah, that's intra. This is inter.
So it's an East versus a West team.
Oh,
okay.
Guess number two.
Is jump around involved in any capacity?
Jump around is not. Well, I don't know, but Wisconsin is not involved.
Okay.
Third clue, and then you guys got to make a pick.
Is there a trophy involved?
Oh, that didn't narrow it down. Ooh. Yeah,
there's always a trophy involved in this thing. I don't know.
Oh, man.
I'd have to look that up.
Yeah, there is. So tentatively, there's a trophy, but it's not like one of the famous
trophies.
No,
I don't know that there is a trophy, actually. I don't believe there is a trophy. I will look this up right now, but let's assume there is not. So there you go. Those are your three hints.
This is kind of looking like a craptastic game.
I'm going Maryland, Illinois.
Maryland, Illinois is not it.
Ross, you got a guess? I'm checking out a schedule here.
There is a trophy. I'm sorry. There is a trophy.
There is a trophy. Okay.
There is a trophy, but obviously it's not one of your more famous ones like the Little Brown Jug. So I would have known that. Like, it's not Michigan, Minnesota, right?
Okay.
Or
All right, hang on. I'm looking up one other thing here.
Well, you can just look up the game. That's not fair.
Well, I need to know who from the West is playing, who from the East. They don't all play each other.
So. Yeah, I screwed that up. We can't go too long.
All right, here's what I got. I'm going Nebraska at Michigan, November 12th.
Why would not have it. Not it. Game? Ross, okay. You get the final pick.
I don't have the schedule either. I'm just going to guess that Rutgers is playing Illinois.
Rutgers is not involved. It is the Minnesota Penn State game on September 1 for the Governor's Victory Bell.
Governor's Victory Bell.
Yes. Really? So what happened is September 1st, there is a Pittsburgh, West Virginia game the same time.
Backyard brawl.
So ESPN did not mind giving up the Penn State, Minnesota game.
Okay.
So maybe this was too hard of a trivia question to get. But essentially, no. Joe Buck, if I'm Joe Buck, I am attending that game if I can.
They need to create another trophy with yeah. Joe Buck's face on it.
Yeah, he should hand out this governor bell. He should hand out the governor
bell. I should.
If you've been traded for a football game, you have to attend that football game.
October 22nd.
Report to Death Row in South Carolina. That's it. You have two choices.
To go to the game. Hey, I'm D.C., 3 hours away. I'm driving up there to attend the Joe Buck game and write about it. Behind the scenes of the Joe Buck game. Can't wait.
Behind the scenes of the game that was traded for an announcer. Well, I did hear, I interacted with a few TV folks at the Final Four, and they were talking about this draft. Like, there's the biggest, for network TV nerds or non-network, whatever, cable, it was like the biggest thing going, like they're very excited for this draft. And it would be a great kind of behind-the-scenes look at how these things come together.
Before Dan, reeled that off, I didn't really know that that's how they do that. I wonder if any other conference, I know several of the conferences like Big 12, Pac-12, right, have a split media rights, but do they do the draft? Yeah. I wonder if they all do the draft.
I don't know. Interesting. Good question. Yeah. Do they have a war room and do they sit around and is there a commissioner who comes out and reads?
Speaking of a war room, this came up at the bowl executive thing at the convention. A couple people were telling me about how, bowl teams are picked for bowls and how, this conference affiliation and all that stuff. But this person was like, Ross, it's ESPN. It's ESPN and ESPN has a war room and the producer has on a chalkboard or one of those dry erase boards, magnets with each team. And they are moving all the magnets and trying to pair what could be the best matchup and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, ESPN, man, running college football. Bob Bowles be like, nods. Yep.
Completely. Yeah. I want to see the magnets. Yeah. I want to see it.
I can only imagine that. Now, this is not the first announcer trade. In 2006, Al Michaels was traded from ESPN ABC to NBC to do Sunday Night Football. And he went for a Friday coverage of 4 years of the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, that was something that seemed like a little more tangible. And
they got part of the Ryder Cup. There was some advertising and video deals. And then the great part, the rights... ESPN Disney was able to get the rights, or maybe did they give it or they get it? I don't know. To Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
Oh, that's right.
Which was a 1927
there was an animated rabbit involved.
Cartoon character that Walt Disney had created. Somehow the company that became NBC Universal owned. So Walt Disney was never able to use this character he created in 1927 called Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. Now, he, according to the New York Post, he went on to create Mickey Mouse instead. So it worked out for Walt.
It worked out okay. Yeah.
But they got the rights back to own Oswald the Lucky Rabbit for Al
Michaels. Can we talk about the money these broadcasters are making now? And why? Is there a return on investment by the TV, the media rights, the media channel? Are people watching games because of the broadcasters? I don't understand any of this.
We don't believe they are. We don't believe they are. No, we've discussed this many times. Thanks for listening to all the pods. we don't believe that. I have heard that ESPN, now ESPN is at the mercy of the NFL to give them good Monday night games because they can't flex out. The NFL wants a high quality production for Monday night. So you get Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. It's apparently considered the top of the, top guys or some of the top guys in that thing. So maybe it's worth it there. But I mean, they're they're no Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
Clearly not. Clearly not. And like hundreds of millions of dollars.
I'm still not over the Penn State Minnesota trophy. So this thing is just put together with duct tape, and Minnesota actually broke it in 2013. They shattered it, and they've only played for it 15 times, which
this is BS. So there's probably been 15 governor elections since then. Who was Jesse the Body Ventura, the governor at the time?
Oh, he might have been.
That might have been cool.
Aikman bust, like a bust of Troy Aikman just his face. And that would be a much better.
Joe Buck.
Or Joe Buck.
They should just make it the Joe
Buck. It's a bell.
Just a bell on wood. And like Minnesota was like freaking out and pumping it up in 2013. And it kind of just all fell apart.
Minnesota owns it right now. They won the last one in 2019. So they have the bell. But yes, this should turn into a bust of Joe Buck. I mean, we have a pig. We have all sorts of things. We have that axe, the Paul Bunyan's axe. We could at least get the Joe Buck game. Get rid of this governor bell. We don't care about the damn governors.
No.
Nobody
cares. Between two states that are like 1,000 miles away from each other.
Yeah, you really have nothing in common. Yeah. Governor this Cup is, for state for teams that are in the same state.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Louisville and Kentucky play for the Governor's Cup.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, what do I care? Go. Right. This makes no sense at all. Yeah.
All right. Two more. I think we need to do this now that we have a full, four people on here now. It's time for a people's court.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Yeah. A Kentucky man,
of course,
was fired days after he had a panic attack at his workplace over an unwanted birthday party.
Wow.
Okay. He was awarded $450,000 by a jury for lost wages and emotional distress. Yeah. It worked out for him. The man, Kevin Burling, had been working at a medical lab, Gravity Diagnostics in Covington, Kentucky for 10 months when he asked the office manager not to throw him a birthday party because he had an anxiety order. This is in the New York Times, so this is like real. Not one of my normal things.
This isn't the Daily Mirror or whatever where you usually get your stuff.
The party had been planned by other employees while the office manager was away, and the situation spiraled out of control. Okay, so the coworkers were trying to do a nice thing, I guess. And have an office birthday party. Mr. Burling had a panic attack after he learned about the planned lunchtime celebration, which was to have included birthday wishes from colleagues and a banner in the break room. He instead spent his lunch break in a car outside. Okay, so the next day, he had a meeting with two supervisors and had another panic attack when he was confronted about his, quote, somber behavior. 3 days later, he was fired in an email. The company, though, said that he had become violent in the meeting and scared the supervisors. So then they sued and he won the money. So it's probably a little more to this, but we don't want to get into all that. Should if somebody throws you a birthday party you don't want, should you get $450,000?
Absolutely. Push for 500. Why did he come up 50,000 short? Go for the half mil.
That's right.
I mean, I'm not, real big on birthdays. And so all of a sudden everybody in the office, including people you don't like, are pretending they like you and you like them. Happy birthday. No, forget it. I would absolutely happily sue anybody who tries to wish me happy birthday.
What people throw a party for somebody like a coworker who's like, do not throw me a party. Whatever you do, don't throw me a party. I will freak out. Right. And they throw them a party. Like who, like what, I don't know, what supervisor's like, oh, let's throw him a party. Cause he said, not to throw him a party. That makes no sense. Good for the guy. And, happy birthday to him, right? We're all worked out.
And they fired him over an email? Mm. That's where I really went on his side. Like, come on now, guys.
But what if he put one of his supervisors in a headlock in the violent meeting? Maybe they didn't want to fire him in person after that.
These people just want to expense the cake, right? Like, again, I hate that. But it's your birthday. It's like, well, maybe I celebrate my birthday differently.
The best way to celebrate your birthday is by not being in the office. Right? Yeah.
Annoying coworkers.
Right.
Not necessary with this birthday thing. Give them the 450. I think we're
getting the 450. 450 in Covington, Kentucky will go a long way. It'll be fun.
Yeah. This is a verdict. All right. And finally, the one that was sent to me most often, this, and I don't know why me. Some Michigan parents are upset because their kindergartner shared a bottle of tequila during snack time on Thursday.
Wow.
What? A child in Livonia, Michigan shared a bottle of Jose Cuervo mix with 10% alcohol content with her classmates before a teacher stopped it.
Kindergarten?
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Kindergarten. I have been accused. I've been accused that it is my child. It is not.
I was going to say, now, yeah, your kids are older than kindergarten. Awesome?
But yeah, but I wish, I mean, I want to know these parents.
Where is Livonia?
It's just outside Detroit. The kindergartner brought a pre-mixed bottle of tequila and shared it with four classmates, including this one woman's five-year-old daughter. I was asked, like, is my daughter okay? She's right here. She looks okay. Okay, well, how much did she drink? I mean, this is not things you want to ask. Kindergarten is lit. Nap time is happening.
Chocolate milk, huh? Like, pass the tequila.
How would you like to be the teacher that all of a sudden has this grenade go off in class? You know, there's a five-year-old with a tequila bottle.
Story.
Props to the Livonia kindergartners, though. They're not coming in with like a White Claw or some kind of straight. Right. We're going big. Bring it. Bring in the Jose. The class of like 2037 is just going to be out of control.
Yeah, no truly, no White Claw, no Mick Ultra.
Yeah, I can see the reunion. I see the
Step
reunion,
up
right?
Your game.
Hey, you remember that time Maggie brought in tequila to our kindergarten class? Like, you know, oh yeah. Where's Maggie today? Not with us, probably, is going to be the answer there.
Yeah. Maggie was removed from her home.
Yeah. Normally it's like, do they got any nuts You're in right. this thing? We got a, you know, we got a tree nut allergy over now. It's just no nuts in tequila.
Chocolate milk. Yeah, right. But tequila. Wow.
Did the kindergartner give an explanation how she ended up with said bottle?
Student privacy laws are the school officials have said they addressed the situation. Disciplinary measures will be taken in accordance with the student code of conduct. This is written into the code of conduct?
Wow.
I mean, really planning ahead if you thought, what happens if a kindergartner brings some tequila?
This is like the Akron, Nebraska contract that covers insurrection, you know?
Yes.
You're clearly covering everything.
Yeah, really got after it. My daughter takes medicine, and first up, no kid should be drinking, and just the shot, it burns, she said. Like, how do you feel? Like anything? You know, higher quality.
Oh my God!
Hey Maggie, can you bring in a little better blend?
And where's the lime and the salt? You know, you got to have it all. Maggie, you just bring one element. Come on,
not Livonia. This is Livonia. They don't do those. They don't put those training That's wheels right. on. They go there right at it. Yeah, go right at it. No salt.
Maggie invited to all parties from now on.
That's it. I got to get back to vacation.
Yeah,
podcast is over.
Thank you for listening. Segueing nicely from tequila stories to his Busch Light.
I promised 60 minutes, and I got to 60 minutes in 1 second, and this is over. Speaking of tequila, we may or may not be back later this week. We will see. Ross, thank you for coming on, though, and adding some insight and a little classmate going up.
I try. I appreciate the invitation. It was more of a circus than I ever imagined. Dan prepared me, and no, it was great. I appreciate the invite.
SI active right. aggression continues.
Got my eyes on you guys. Got you guys. All right, please leave us a nice review. Share us on social media. Tell your friends about us. We will talk to you later.